sure if you have watched this particular movie or not, but when you think about At the Movies first, before we get in there, At the Movies is this series because, you know what, there's, for at least a lot of us, there's just nothing like watching a good movie. You just get kind of caught up in the story. Maybe you're at the edge of your seat, you're leaning in, you're wondering what's going to happen next. Maybe your feet are suctioned to the floor from all the popcorn that's been dropped on the floor. Maybe you have this big bucket of popcorn laying there in your lap. And there's just all these different types of movies. So if you want to laugh, there's a comedy. If you want to cry, there's a chick flick to go watch. If you want to jump and be scared, there's plenty of movies that you can go watch. Not sure why you would want to do that, but you could go watch those. There's thrillers, there's action, there's drama, everything that we long for because we love stories when it gets right down to it. But when the screen goes dark and the lights come back on, we're really smack dab in the middle of our own stories and of our own life. And whether your life would win the world's the Oscar for the world's most boring movie, or whether you are living that thriller, that horror movie, or whatever that it may be that you're living through right now, as we really stop and think about it, sometimes there's more plot twists and turns in our own story and our own life than we ever thought was possible, and it just keeps turning and twisting. And it is one of those movies, if it was a movie, that we really would be on the edge of our seat. You know, and that's great when it's at the movie theater and you're at the edge of your seat. And it's not so great when it's your life and when the things are twisting and turning and you're like, if I wanted this, I would go to the movies. But when we stop and we think about everything that's going on, a lot of times we find our way out of the audience when we walk out of the movies into the action. And maybe that we need to face down the villains that plague us. Maybe we need to rescue the neighbors that are need rescuing in distress. Or maybe we need to live a legacy more than just hiding in the shadows. And there's so many different things when we think about that. And we can really change the world that's around us. And that just kind of just a little bit of what I think about when we look at this new series, At the Movies. As we look at our own life and our own stories and we compare it to some other movies here, that we see on the screen. And the week one here, if you don't know that movie, if you haven't seen the movie, is The Avengers. And it was one of the best-selling movies of all times. Broke all kinds of records. But The Avengers, there's these group of people, superheroes, that they band together and they go out to fight villains. In this particular movie, they have one bad guy that they want to fight. His name is Thanos. And he really just wants to destroy the world. That's really what it gets down to. It's a good guy, definitely the good guy against the bad guy. And he has this, for the lack of a better word, this metal glove that he has on his hand. Not sure exactly what that thing is called, but he puts the Infinity Stones in it. And so he's going around the universe getting these stones that give him power. And basically he wants all the power, and there's two Infinity Stones left, and so he goes to Earth to capture them, and that's where he faces the Avengers. And he wants to be unstoppable. And they say if he gets all five, he pretty much is totally unstoppable. He's so powerful, and that's what he's setting out to do. But in his mind, he's setting out really to save the world. Because what he thinks is happening is that he needs to kill off half the world or half the universe in order to save the world. And so in his mind, he has these intentions going on. And on the other side, you have these different superheroes and Avengers. You can name every superhero you can think of, and it's in that movie some way, somehow. They're in there. And the long story short, and if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert coming up. But the long story short, at the very end of the show, the Avengers lose. Thanos snaps his fingers, and half the world basically disappears. And if you watched that movie, I'm sure you had the reaction like my family did. I looked over there at my kids, and their mouth was like, and then the credits start rolling. And we're thinking, is that really the end of the movie? And that's really the way that it ended. really his misguided intentions destroyed a lot of people. And I really believe that sometimes our misguided intentions can really destroy other people. And they can really hurt other people. Because his intention was to save the world, but he really didn't think about it and didn't really think about everything that was going on. His intentions were very, very misguided when it comes down to it. And I believe that we could see the same type of thing unfolding in a guy named Joseph's life in Genesis chapter 37. In Genesis chapter 37, we're introduced to this guy named Joseph. He has a bunch of other brothers, and we see in verses 1 through 4, that it says, "So Jacob settled again into the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives." And then it goes on to say, "But Joseph reported to his father some of the other bad things his brothers were doing." And I read that scripture right there and I kind of laugh just a little bit, because I think this has been going on for a very, very long time. I mean, as a parent, how many times did you have one of your kids come up to you and say, "Let me tell you what my sister or my brother did," and just tell you everything that you wanted or maybe didn't really want to know? And that's exactly what's going on here. Joseph is reporting to his father some of the bad things that his brothers were doing. He was going and just telling everything. And so I can just imagine, I'm sure it probably happened to you. And when it happened to you, you get just a little bit mad. So I can imagine now his brothers are getting a little bit mad and like, "Come on, you're 17 years old. Aren't you ever going to grow out of this? You know, when you were 3 and 4 years old, maybe that was okay. But now you're 17 and you're still doing the exact same thing." And so we see this going on here, and we continue reading right there. And it says, "Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because his father loved him more than the rest of them, and they couldn't say a kind word to him." So then we go ahead and we read there, and Joseph's dad really, it says that he loved him, Joseph, more than he loved anyone, the other brothers. You know, I always joke, because I have two sisters, and so I always joke with my parents and said, you know, if you wanted the perfect kid, then you should have just stopped with the first one. And I tell them that, you know, that you wanted, that because I was such a perfect kid growing up, that you just thought the rest of them would be better and, or as good, maybe as good, and it just progressively got worse. And so finally you decided, I'm just not going to have any more kids. My youngest sister likes to say the opposite, says when they finally got the perfect kid, they stopped having kids. But this is what was going on here, is Joseph was definitely loved more, and he got this coat of many colors. And we see this unfolding, and we see this tension growing, and this battle between siblings that are beginning to take place. And then if we skip down to verse 18, we kind of see it coming to a head. In verse 18, it goes on to say this. "When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him." So basically, Joseph's brothers sent him ahead. I mean, his dad sent him out to check on the brothers. And so they see him coming in the distance, and they see who it is. They recognize him from coming off, and they make this plot to kill him. And it goes on and says here, "Here comes the dreamer," he said. "Come on, let's kill him. Let's throw him into one of the cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we will see what it becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard of the scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. "Let's not kill him," he said. "Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into the empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without laying a hand on him." Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off his beautiful robe he was wearing. They grabbed him and threw him into a cistern. Now the cistern was empty, where there was no water in it. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up to a caravan of camels coming toward them, and the group of Ishmaelite traders with a load of gum bomb or all these different things that they were selling here. And they decided, as Judah began to think about it, the other brothers said, you know what, let's don't kill him. How about let's sell him? How much is he worth if we sell him as a slave? And so that's exactly what they did. They sold him as a slave. And so as I read this different story, I see a lot of misguided intentions. I see Reuben, when all the other brothers were saying, hey, let's go out and let's kill him. Let's just get rid of this brother. Reuben was like, wait a minute. I don't really think this is a good idea. And so he came up with this idea in his mind that he said, how about let's just throw him in this cistern, in this deep hole. Let's leave him there. And he says he intended to go back and get him out. That was his intentions. But as I read that, you know, maybe that was some decent intentions. It was definitely better than the other brother's intentions. But when you stop and think, really what happened here is Reuben didn't speak up. He didn't say, oh, this is a bad idea. Why are we doing this? He just kind of sat back. And so, yeah, he maybe had a little bit of good intentions, but he also had some misguided intentions because he didn't want to stand up to his brothers. He didn't want to say anything differently. He thought, I'll just take care of it later. I'll just go along with what the brothers are saying. And so he throws him in there. And he ends up helping cover it up. Because as he goes back, and I can just imagine as he looks into the cistern and Joseph's gone, and he goes and he's talking to his other brothers and he begins to hear what has happened. I can imagine the things that are going on in Reuben's mind. Like, that is not how I thought the end was going to be. This is not what I played out in my mind. This is not, now what am I going to do? Okay, now we got to figure out something because I'm not going to go back and tell my dad the truth. And I'm not going to go back and tell him that I threw him in here and that I thought everything was going to be okay. And we were just really, it was just a joke and we were just messing around. He helps the other brothers cover it up. He comes up with this elaborate plan so that the dad now believes that Joseph is dead. And then I look at, so we see some misguided intentions. And then I look at Judah. And as Judah's sitting back and he's, I think, probably laughing and thinking about the brother, I think we all of a sudden see now some selfish intentions. Because Joseph went from this idea of wanting to kill him to, what can I get out of it? What can I get? What's going to benefit me? And Judah's like, hey, if we could get this amount of money, we could split it. Let's just go ahead and split it. Hey, with Joseph still not going to be in the picture, so let's just go ahead and get rid of him, and it's better for us. The same result, we'll never see him again. We'll never have to worry about him again, but now I have some money to show for it. And so we see this selfishness begin just to kind of creep in to his life. And when I think about it, did either one of the brothers see anything wrong with their intentions? They really didn't. They thought they had it figured out. They thought their intentions were okay. They had this plan. This is what they intended to do. But I'm just not sure that either one of the brothers or any of the brothers truly understood the long-term effects. Because I just can't imagine, as they got home and they showed the dad the robe, that they really could have totally expected what was going to happen next. I just don't know, as a son, just myself personally, thinking about my dad and looking in his eyes and telling this lie to help cover up my misguided and selfish intentions, that I could have really dealt with the heartache very much. Just that eyes, I just picture his eyes changing. I figure his demeanor begin to change. I can just begin to hear my dad's sobs, most likely, of what's going on in this situation. And I'm just not sure that the brothers totally, really thought about their misguided and selfish intentions, where it was really taking them. And I wonder sometimes, have we ever stopped to think about our intentions? that maybe we intended to be a good friend, we intended to say the right thing, we intended for things to work out this way, but yet they really didn't go the way that we had planned. And sometimes I think that things don't go the way that we intended them to go, or at least my life don't always go the way that I intended it to go. And sometimes it can be because we have these misguided intentions. Sometimes it can be that we have these selfish intentions, and it just doesn't always go the way that we want. And sometimes we never even stop to consider the directions that our intentions may take us. Because I intend to do this, and this is a great idea, and we get so caught up in the things that are going on, that the thing sounds great, everything looks good, and we never stop and pause to think about our intentions and where they're actually leading us. You know, I don't know, but I can't help but to think if Joseph's brothers would have just stopped, if maybe Reuben would have spoke up, or maybe if one of the other brothers would have said, how is this going to play out 10 years from now? What's this going to look like when we tell our dad? What's this going to do to him? And would have really begun to stop and just pause about the intentions and really begin to imagine where their decisions were actually going to take them. Would they still have done the same thing or not? Because, you see, it's really our directions, our direction, not our intention, that determines our destination. We can have great intentions, and we can have what we believe are great intentions, but it's really our directions, our direction, that determines where we're going. And so sometimes when we think about stopping and looking at our intentions, maybe we just need to stop and look at the direction that we've been heading. Maybe we need to look at the direction that we're at, and we can realize maybe that our intentions, maybe they were just a little bit misguided. Maybe our intentions are just a little bit selfish, and we wouldn't want to admit that for anything. So what are some steps, some actions that we can take that would maybe move us in the right direction, that would be better than our best intentions? And so I want us to think about and realize that maybe sometimes that our good intentions, they're just not good enough. And maybe it's the steps and the actions that we need to take that we realize that that's the direction that I'm actually heading. And so when we get to a place where we really didn't want to go, it was the direction that we set our life into. And so I just want us to look at some actions that maybe we need to take. And first of all, I see here is don't try to manipulate your future. I don't know about you, but I think it happens a lot more than I really want to care to admit, because when I get these ideas and intentions in my mind, the way that I want to see my life laid out, the way that you want to see your life laid out, it's very easy for us to begin to manipulate. It's very easy for us to begin to twist. It's very begin for us to begin to make those things happen when God's really not saying, this is the way that the things that I wanted to see in your life. And so what we begin to do is we begin to make the details match our intentions. We begin to make the details, and we begin to just do all these different things to make it the way that we really wanted to do. Because what Reuben tried to do, he tried to manipulate. Well, I really don't want my brother to die, but I don't really want to do anything about it, so I don't want to take that action step. And so he began to manipulate, like, if I just throw him in here, then I'll get him out later. And I think about the movie. I think about Thanos. He began to try to manipulate everything to go the way that he wanted to go, and it really didn't matter who got in his way and what took place and what happened. And he, even coming down to one of his adopted daughters, that he was willing to let her go and let her die just so he could get his intentions to take place. And I wonder sometimes, as we look at our own intentions and we really search our own will, how much do we leave pushing people to the side when we never stop and take time to ask God really what he really wants for our life? And we never look at the plan God has in store. And so instead, we begin to manipulate things to look the way that I want them to look. And unfortunately, we have these misguided intentions In fact, you can even see it perhaps in Genesis chapter 40, verses 14 and 15. At this point, Joseph now been sold. He's been, a lot of other things happened to him. He's sold to Potiphar, had a good run there. Then he's thrown into prison. And we see Joseph in prison here in verses 14 and 15. And he goes on to say this. It says, "And please remember me and do me a favor. When things go well for you, mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my own homeland in the land of Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it." So basically, Joseph had interpreted a dream for someone else who was in prison. He says, when you get out, make sure you tell them, because I want out of here, and get me out of here. And so make sure you do these things, because I don't really deserve to be in here. And Joseph even begins to try to manipulate to really to get out, even though it wasn't God's timing yet. God knew when God was going to get him out. But Joseph really wanted out that day, when it gets right down to it, as quickly as possible. And he's trying to make these things happen as fast that he can. And if we're not careful, our misguided intentions can cause us to manipulate things the way we want them, instead of allowing God to really direct our steps in our life. And I think about even the words here that they use and their misguided intentions. I can't imagine the hurtful words that they said to Joseph and all the things that they said to him. And how easy it is sometimes for our misguided intentions, for our words, to really cause a lot of damage in people's life that are really hard to replace and really hard to change. And they really can't be taken back. And then I see this idea that our next action step, besides not manipulating, but instead seeing this time and prayer and really walking with God and searching God, with God, to take the step that God wants and not what we want, I see the next action step that we need to take is to apply our spiritual gifts in our current circumstances. God has gifted you in some amazing and some crazy great ways. And he wants you to use those gifts to bring honor and glory to him. And I love this, because Joseph, he was definitely a very talented person and definitely a very gifted person. And God had gifted him in some ways. And if Joseph would have rather, I imagine he would have rather ran this big company and made himself rich and done all these own these things. And you can think of all these cushy jobs that Joseph could have had. But he used his spiritual gifts the way that God made him every step along the way. When he was a slave, he used those gifts in Potiphar's house to the best of his ability. Later now, when he's brought out of prison with Pharaoh, he uses those gifts to the best of his ability. And I wonder sometimes if we don't want this picture-perfect place before we actually begin to use our spiritual gifts the way that God created us, to really live the purpose out that God created us to do, to in the way that he created us to live them. Instead of just accepting even these imperfect opportunities to express our spiritual gifts and really live out our gifts in everyday life. Because teamwork makes this huge difference. And God, and as you read the scriptures, there are so many different times that he talks about how the body just fits perfectly together. And if you ever injure one part of your body, it doesn't take much to figure out that the rest of your body is pretty important. There was one time I broke my right arm, and let me tell you, I'm right-handed, and that's already a pretty important thing. But to realize how important your hand is and not being able to use it, it changes everything that I did to walk into my wife and say, "Will you please open these jar of pickles, or will you open this because you couldn't do it?" Or if you ever stumped your toe or broke your toe, and maybe it was even the smallest toe on your foot, it definitely affects the way that you walk. And when we don't use our spiritual gifts, that's really the way that it is. And there's one thing I think that I almost missed in this movie was, should the Avengers have won? I'm going to go out and say yes. They should have won. Because there's one thing in this movie that is totally different than any other movie that the Avengers that I've seen. Never once were all the Avengers in the same place at the same time. You have these over here fighting their battle and doing their thing. You have these over here doing their thing. And you have these over here doing their thing. And guess what? Thanos picked them off one at a time. And there was one time in the movie that they were trying to pull off this metal glove. And they were almost to get it off. And I can't help to think if all the other Avengers would have been there, that he got it off, things over. And I wonder how many different times in our life that's really the case. There's some of these incredible things that we can accomplish and do if we just allow God to use us and use our talents and use our abilities, and we work together as a church. And as we begin to pull out and use our abilities and even the imperfect circumstances, these amazing things begin to happen. And the amazing thing is, Satan doesn't just pick us off one by one, because the whole body is healthy and the whole body can do the things the way that God created it to do. And I think about the third action step here is just simply live by faith, not by sight. When Joseph looked at his life, I just think that everything had to look out of order. Because in Joseph's life, his blessings, they led to sufferings. His faithfulness led to punishments. In times like these, I think we begin to think life is senseless. Faithfulness is pointless. And God is absent. So I might as well just strike out on my own. Don't do it. Hold on to your faith, because God is there with you all along the way. You can't just necessarily go by only the things that you see. You have to live by faith and know that God is there. And I think sometimes we look and we see the circumstance in our life, and it just doesn't look like God's there. At least that's what we tell ourselves. And I read the scriptures of Joseph, because in Joseph, in chapter 39, verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. In verse 21, it says, and the Lord was with him in prison. When God can't be seen or felt, he must be believed. And if we're not careful, and if we don't, and we begin to live by sight instead of faith, our intentions become misguided. Our intentions become more selfish. And we begin to try to do things on our own instead of really just living our life to be a life on mission for God. And so when I think about this story and this of Joseph, I see all these intentions and the way that things that they wanted them to work out and the things that they wanted done and what was best for them at that particular point in time. And I think that it's easy for us to fall into that I want what's best for me. I want to be able to do this. I want this to take place. And the more times that I begin to use the word I, the more misguided and the more selfish my intentions become. And it's easy for me to lose sight of the things that God really wants me to do and the steps that he wants me to take. And so today, I just want you to stop and I just want you to think, what direction is your intentions really taking you? Are you really headed in the direction that you really want for your life? Are you going to end up at the destination that you really want if you continue to follow the intentions that you're going and planning right now? And maybe, just maybe, there's some action steps that you need to take. And maybe you just need to quit trying to manipulate God and trying to get everything to look like this is what God wants because this is what Matthew wants. Or this is who you want. And we just really trust God with our future. And maybe, just maybe, we need to begin to apply our spiritual gifts in your current circumstances. Not what you want when your circumstances are perfect and great, but right now in your life today. And then some of us, when you look up and you really stop and think, if we're really honest, God just doesn't seem present in our life. And in that moment, we've got to live by faith and not by sight. And if we choose to reverse those and we choose to live by sight and not by faith, then our intentions are going to become more and more and more misguided. And so simply today, as we think about the Avengers, this team that sets out and they conquer all the bad guys, they failed in this movie because they didn't work together as a team. They didn't see the greater end as a greater result. And I just wonder how often as a church do we fail to work together as a team so that we can accomplish this great thing in the end. So today, I just want you to stop and just look at your own intentions, because it's your direction that really determines where you're going. Good intentions won't get you there. It's the directions and the steps that we actually take each and every day. So as we go through this week, we can say, I intend to do this and I intend to do that and I have these wonderful intentions. But you know what? I intended to wash the dishes this week. I intended to wash a lot of clothes for my wife. But if she was standing in here, the good intentions didn't really work out so well. And in our life, there's a lot of bigger things than that. There's a lot of God-sized things than that. And our intentions just don't cut it. It's the directions and the steps and the actions that we take.